The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our teacher and guide, you draw us to yourself and welcome us as beloved children. Help us to lay aside all envy and selfish ambition, that we may walk in your ways of wisdom and understanding, as servants of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please be seated. Well, children, Bishop Taylor is with us today.
Hi, everybody.
So say hi.
Hi.
You know, our gospel today says that unless people follow Jesus like children, they're not doing a very good job of following Jesus. So that means that you, the children who are sitting in front of us this morning, are our leaders for all of these people to see how to follow Jesus. So I want you to think about how you follow Jesus and teach us. Last Sunday, what happened, Ian? All the children ran the service last Sunday, led the songs, did the sermon, helped with communion, were the ushers and the everything, the whole service. And you did it with enthusiasm. So we look out here and say, that's a way that a child can lead us. We can have enthusiasm like children do. Anything else? Can you think of something else to how children can lead? Cameron, what do you think?
Following the rules of God.
Following the rules of God. Oh, my gosh. Isn't this something? Very good answer. I like that answer, too. That's a great answer. So do you have anything that you want to say to the children this morning?
Just keep on following Jesus. He's got a way of leading us to places. Sometimes it's places we want to go. Sometimes he leads us to places we don't necessarily want to go, but he promises that because he's with us, we are safe, and he'll be with us, and he'll help us deal with whatever comes up. And remember, Jesus, is Jesus with you at school?
Yes.
Is Jesus with you at home?
Yes.
Is Jesus with you when you go to a restaurant?
Yes.
Is Jesus with you when you're at McDonald's? Yes. Is Jesus with you in Sunday school?
Yes.
Is Jesus with you when you're playing ball out on the street?
Yes.
Everywhere you go. So always remember that. And remember that he's there because he loves you. He wants to be with you. And he'll help you to follow. Yeah.
How does Jesus follow us everywhere? Does he watch us go to the bathroom?
Jesus never takes his eyes off us. He always looks at us with love and care. Just with love and care, Jesus is always watching us.
It sounds weird, but you know, I once talked to a girl your age who was going in for surgery, and she was worried about what would happen when her eyes closed and the doctors were working on her, and it really helped her to remember that Jesus was right there with her, going to be there every step of the way, helping the doctors, and she came through just fine. So some places it seems like, ooh, yeah, Jesus is watching us in the bathroom, that seems weird. But Jesus being with us when we're going through surgery and every place else we go, and no matter what happens, we are never alone. That helps us to know that God's always there. Yes?
Lilith?
I
want
to be an orthopedic surgeon.
Or an orthopedic surgeon, so you can take care of the sick children and make them right. That's good. Well, we're getting ready now. You'll go to Sunday school and find out and hear more about this story about following Jesus as little children full of enthusiasm and love and trust. So let's sing.
The first reading is from Jeremiah 11. It was the Lord who made it known to me, and I knew. Then you showed me their evil deeds. But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter, And I did not know it was against me that they devised schemes, saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, so that his name will no longer be remembered. But you, O Lord of hosts, who judge righteously, who try the heart and the mind, let me see your retribution upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 54 responsively. Save me, O God, by your name. In your might, defend my cause.
Hear my prayer.
Give ears to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen up against me, and the ruthless have sought my life, those who have no regard for God. It is the Lord who sustains my life. Render evil to those who spy on me. In your faithfulness, destroy them.
I will offer you a freewill sacrifice.
And praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For you have rescued me from every trouble, and my eye looks down on my enemies. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from James 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and you do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and the disciples went on and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Well, it's a pleasure to be here with you today. I'm glad to be back in San Diego, where I served for a number of years before I was elected bishop. And it's just good to be here as you consecrate two new deacons and celebrate this important day in the life of your church. My name is Andy Taylor. I'm bishop of the Pacifica Synod. The Pacifica Synod, for those of you who don't know, consists of 109 congregations who are located in the California counties of Orange County, south of L.A., east of L.A., Riverside, San Bernardino counties, San Diego County, and I also have the onerous burden of having to go to Hawaii a couple of times a year to deal with the 10 congregations that we have on the islands. So, and on their behalf, I not only want to bring you greetings, but I want to say thank you. Thank you, St. Peter's by the Sea, for being the ELCA here in Ocean Beach. Thank you that because of you, people in San Diego and throughout the world know that there's a God who loves and cares for them through the love and care you share with one another, with your neighbors, and with your community and world. The work you do makes a huge difference in this world. And I want to say thank you for that work. This is God at work, sharing God's love and grace and peace through all of you. So I want to talk to you a little bit about how God's grace and love and peace comes through us. And as I look at this scripture lesson, particularly the gospel lesson for today. And to get into it, I want to tell you something that happened to me a number of years ago. I went to a continuing education event at, of all places, Disneyland. I would commute up every morning from San Diego and drive back in the evening and would go to the Magic Kingdom and hear Disney executives talk about what they did, and then we pastors tried to apply it to our situations as we heard about that. And I learned some things about Disney. You may have known this. I didn't know this. Do you know they don't call their employees employees? Do you know what they call their employees? See, you guys are smarter than me. I didn't know that. They call them cast members. Everybody who works for Disney, whether you're the CEO, Bob Iger, or you're the college kid who sweeps Main Street at 2 a.m. to get the park clean at the end of the day, you're considered a cast member. And while different cast members have different job descriptions, it would be crazy for that kid to try and be the CEO of the company after all. They all have one line in their job descriptions that's identical. Everybody has the same line. And they are to take time each day to make a magic moment for a guest to the Magic Kingdom. They even showed us how this worked. They had a video. And in this video, this like 19-year-old college kid, young man, is serving as an usher for the Beauty and the Beast show. And this little girl in a wheelchair is wheeled up in the blue dress and the frilly apron, you know, from the movie, like Belle. And he looks at her and he says, "You must love this movie." She said, "It's my favorite." He says, "Well, I've got a special seat for you right up front." And so he brings her right where the differently abled seating is up front, where a wheelchair can be, and she has a great view of the show. And when it's over and her mom is wheeling her out, he comes up to her and says, "Did you like the show?" She said, "I loved it." He asked her, "What was your favorite part?" And she said, "The part where the Beast turns into the handsome prince and dances with Belle." And then she looked up at the usher and she said, "Will you dance with me?" Well, he didn't know what to do. But the mom behind her daughter kind of nodded and held out her arms like this. And so he holds out his arms and she wrapped her arms around his neck and he picked her up from the chair and twirled her around two or three times and put her back in the wheelchair. And the video ended with them waving goodbye. And there were a few tears in the audience too, I have to admit, as that was being done. The executive who showed us this video said, "You know, the cast member did exactly what the cast member was supposed to do. He took a moment to make a magic moment for one of the guests to the Magic Kingdom." But then she went on to say, "But you know whose life was really changed by that encounter? It wasn't the guest. It was the cast member. Suddenly there was a meaning and purpose to his work that was beyond just bringing people to find the right seat for them at this show." And she said, "This is what really helps our people understand the importance of what they do, being cast members here in Disneyland and taking time to make magic moments for guests." So some of us pastors talked about this afterwards. And here's what we thought. If cast members to the Magic Kingdom are supposed to make magic moments for guests of the Magic Kingdom, how much more should those of us who know that we are a part of the kingdom of God take some time each and every day to make kingdom moments for those who don't realize that the kingdom of God has yet come upon them. But in order for us to do this, there's one thing we have to remember. We are cast members. We are not the guests, right? In other words, we don't ask others to make accommodations for us or for our faith. Instead, we willingly share our faith in love with others in hopes that they will be attracted by that and see what God is doing in our world. I know that your deacons, Steve and Greg, have been trained to be what you might think are cast members here because they're going to be consecrated as deacons. But that doesn't let the rest of you off the hook either. If you're at church at all, you are a cast member in the kingdom of God. You are not a guest. And what you are here to do is to be so filled with the Spirit that it doesn't matter what happens to you. What matters is what you are able to do for others and go and serve them with God's love. You know, the disciples were a little unclear on that concept a lot. You know, they have followed Jesus. If you were here last week, you probably heard the story of Peter saying, I don't know, there was kids service, so I don't know if they did it. You did that? Who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Messiah. And that was a loaded title for faithful Jews. The Messiah was the promised Savior. God had been promising to send a Savior for Israel for centuries. And people had ideas about what that Savior was supposed to do. That Savior was supposed to get rid of all of Israel's enemies, which meant they'd certainly kick out Rome, who was the political enemy and the occupier of Israelite territory. That Messiah would establish a new kingdom. That Messiah would drive out all evildoers and all those who are counter to God's law. And they expected Jesus to do all this stuff. And when Jesus talked about dying, they just didn't get it. And on the road, as Jesus brings up this dying thing again, they still don't get it. They don't think that's what a Messiah is supposed to do. But they're believing more and more that Jesus really is the Messiah because they've seen him do incredible things. Still storms with a word and walk on water at this point in the Gospel of Mark. Heal the sick with a word and feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Do incredible things. And they're thinking to themselves, no doubt, we're on the ground floor. All 12 of us are going to be great. And so what do they argue about? Who's the greatest among them? Since all 12 are going to be great, somebody's got to be top dog. And so they argue about who's most important to Jesus, most important to the mission, most important in the coming kingdom that Jesus is about to prepare. And Jesus knows it. And knows that this is not what it's all about. And so he pulls them together and says, you want to be great? They say, yeah, we want to be great. He says, then you have to be last of all and least of all. And while they're scratching their heads trying to figure that one out, Jesus takes a child into his arms and says, you have to be like this child. You have to remember in ancient Israel, children had absolutely no social status or standing. And he says, you got to be least like this child in order to be great. And I don't know about you, but for years when I thought about this story, I thought about a sweet child, kind of like that little girl in the wheelchair, just adorable and somebody you want to love and embrace. But I don't know that Jesus is going to make it that easy on us. I wonder if Jesus had to put his arms around this child to keep the child from fidgeting and kicking and running away. And I just wonder if this child might have been one of those holy terrors that we sometimes deal with. In other words, I wonder if that child might have been exactly like Teresa. Who was Teresa? She was in my first call. I was the youth pastor, and she was the bane of my existence. I learned why she was the bane. She had a really tough life. Her mother struggled with a serious mental illness. The meds didn't always work. And when her mom was not ill, dad was very strict and very much there for the family. And so was mom. And when mom was ill, the family didn't matter. Dad's full attention went to taking care of mom, and they could be completely neglected. So Teresa once got grounded for 2 weeks for not taking out the garbage when her mom was well. But when at the age of 12, she stayed out till midnight one night when her mom was sick and didn't call home and her parents had no idea where she was, there were no consequences whatsoever. So she had real boundary, you know, issues. She didn't know what appropriate and inappropriate behavior was. She was punished sometimes severely for minor infractions and got away with major ones because nobody had the energy to deal with her. And so that's kind of the way she was in church, too. She was in sixth grade when I first met her, which meant confirmation. And it didn't matter. At least I always knew Teresa would talk during the lesson. She'd never talk about the lesson, however. She was always talking about boys or about what happened in school, about her stupid brothers. And I have to tell you that it was always stupid brothers, never my brothers. It was always my stupid brothers. And any time I was in the middle of a Faith Foundation conversation that actually seemed to be getting somewhere, she would subvert and sabotage the conversation to bring all the attention back to her. And she continued to do it on youth trips, you know. When we went on middle school youth trips, if ever we had a worship service, she'd talk all the way through it. Or she would look bored, or she'd sigh deeply in the midst of some sort of small message that I was giving. She was just a pain in the neck. She never sat still. And boy, you know, I tried and tried. But when I left there in 1992, I had not made a bit of headway with Teresa. She continued to be self-centered. All about herself, not at all understanding about the gospel at all. And I just despaired about time wasted with her. And so I think of her as that child Jesus put in the midst. Unless you become as this child. Well, I have to tell you, I think we already have a number of things in common with Teresa. We may not have been quite that fidgety or quite that much of a saboteur, but haven't we all sabotaged at times what God wants to do in our lives? Haven't we all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, tried to say to God, this is what I want. I don't want that. I want this for me. I want to be the greatest. And I don't want to be the least to be the greatest. I just want to be the greatest. Have we not all done that from time to time? I think we have. Or even if we would never say, I want to be the greatest, then we say, well, I want to be the greatest at being the least. And then we try to make ourselves the greatest at being the least and do it exactly the opposite way. We all fail to realize that God is there for us and that God loves us. And we all try to make it all about us. And God knew that this was true of us. And so that's why God came first to serve us. It's why he came to this earth, to serve us in our need. And why he went to the cross. For on the cross he served us in a way we could never serve ourselves. Taking on our sin, everything that would ever separate us from God and God from us, and putting to death its power over us forever. So that now we don't have to worry about where we are. We can be in the bathroom, as that poor little girl said, or we can be going into surgery, or we can be with our friends and neighbors. Wherever we are, we don't need to worry about where God is. God is right there with us each and every day. Because when Christ rose from the dead, he rose to pour his Holy Spirit into each and every one of us. Christ, who was the ultimate cast member for the kingdom of God, who made a magic moment for us, changed us from guests into cast members through our baptism. And by our baptism, took up residence within each and every one of us so that we might reach out with God's love and God's grace to others in a variety of ways. And sometimes it happens in ways we recognize, and sometimes we are completely floored and surprised by the ways God has worked through us completely unbidden. But that's the way God is. The God who lives in and through us gets out in and through us in ways that surprise us. And that God helps us to show that God is at work, helping us to be least so that others know that they are guests in the kingdom of God, beloved by God, welcomed by God, and they could become cast members with us as well. I left that first church in 1992. 4 years later, I got elected bishop of this synod. And I was at a church far, far away from where my original church was. And a woman in her early 40s came up to me and she said, Pat, Pastor Andy Taylor, P-A-T. Nobody's called me Pat since I was in my first call. She said, Pat, do you remember me? It was Teresa. I said, wow. I said, what are you doing here? And it was before the service, so I was a little worried that she might squirm and fidget during the whole sermon and stuff. And she said, I'm here with my kids. You and youth group were so important to me growing up that that's where God became real to me. And I want my kids to know about God in the same way, and that's why I bring my children to this church. And I have to tell you, if anything about God got through to her, it had absolutely nothing to do with me. Talk about God working through an unwilling vessel. This is all God's work. Because God lives in and through us, helping us to make magic moments that we aren't even aware of for others. And helping us to welcome others and fulfill our call to be cast members in the kingdom of God. Stephen Gregg, you are taking a particular role in encouraging this congregation to be cast members in the kingdom of God. You're joining with your fellow deacons and with Pastor Marone to continue this work, to do what God calls you to do, to trust that God is with you, to trust that God is working through you even when you are being selfish, even when you don't understand what's going on. Maybe particularly when you don't understand what is going on. Because I think that's when we are really weak and God is really strong. And so I pray that God will bless you in this role and in this work. And through you, bless the congregation. And through all of you, God will bless the community of Ocean Beach. And there are other communities you live in. Our usher today told me he was going to high school in Spring Valley. And, you know, all kinds of places around here that you affect. Just by your presence there. But I want to promise you this. God is with you. God, who took the servant role for you, will help all of us serve as we are called to do, so that others might know of God's love and God's care. May God bless you as you serve. And by the way, the word deacon, I meant to say this earlier, the word deacon, you know where it comes from? Greek word diakonos. You know what that means? Servant. Slave, servant. Diakonia, service. So, as you take on that role of deacon, your job is to serve the congregation so they can serve the world, so that the world can know that they have a God who serves and loves them, and then can serve their neighbor with the love they've already received. May God bless you all in this work. And through us, may God's love and care be known to all we meet. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We are one in mission. We are one in all.
may be seated.
I present Greg Lohman and Steve Silva for consecration to the ministry of Congregational Deacon. They have been recommended by the pastor and properly prepared. They have been approved by the Congregation Council of St. Peter's by the Sea Lutheran Church. Jennifer Smart, Joan Alton, Diane Sherwood, and Nancy Ayling are also ready to renew their promises in the service of our faith community as congregational deacons.
Please come forward.
Those called to this ministry of congregational deacon are members of the congregation and are accountable to the pastor and the congregation. They exercise their calling through liturgical, pastoral, service, and spiritual growth activities. The deacons assist in worship, daily prayer for the congregation, the pastor, and the broader church. They participate in the life of the congregation in service, teaching, visiting the homebound, and comforting those in need. Greg and Steve, will you perform the work of a deacon in this congregation and in this community?
I will, and I ask God to help and guide me.
St. Peter's by the Sea Lutheran Church, a congregation of the Pacifica Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, confesses that the Holy Scriptures are the Word of God and the norm for its faith and life. Will you serve in accordance with the Holy Scriptures, the Creed, and the Lutheran Confessions?
I will, and I ask God to help and guide me.
Will you be diligent in your study of the Holy Scriptures and faithful in your use of the means of grace and in daily prayer for the pastor and this congregation?
I will, and I ask God to help and guide me.
Will you witness to Jesus Christ in word and deed, and by your own example encourage God's people in faithful service and living?
I will, and I ask God to help and guide me.
Almighty God, who has given you the will to do these things, graciously give you the strength and compassion to perform them.
Amen.
And will you, Joan, Jennifer, Nancy, and Diane, congregational deacons at St. Peter's by the Sea, continue in your ministry, carrying the love of Christ into the community?
I will, and I ask God to help and guide me.
Now I ask the members of St. Peter's by the Sea, will you continue in your support of these deacons? And will you receive Greg and Steve being consecrated today and installed as congregational deacons to serve God's people, affirming and supporting their ministry among you with your prayers and support? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Holy God, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to show us the way of servanthood. We praise you for the mission that you have set before this congregation. We praise you for calling these servants to live out their baptism in service to you and your church. I invite you both to kneel. Heavenly Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon Greg, whom you have called to be a congregational deacon. Fill him with the gifts of grace for the ministry of word and service. Deacon Greg, this ministry is committed to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let the people of St. Peter's by the Sea say Amen.
Amen.
Of your calling to serve God and God's people.
Heavenly Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon Steve, whom you have called to be a congregational deacon. Fill him with the gifts of grace for this ministry of word and service. Deacon Steve, this ministry is committed to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And let the people of St. Peter's by the Sea say Amen.
Amen.
Wear this stole as a sign of your calling to serve God and God's people.
Now with the whole church, let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen.
Freed by God in Christ to live and love and serve, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Gracious God, you gather congregations together by the power of your word. Bless leaders with the gifts of wisdom and discernment as they seek to make your church the community for which you long. Be with our church leaders as they guide us closer to you and share your heavenly meal with us. We pray for Bishop Elizabeth, Bishop Andy, and Pastor Karen. Lord, in your mercy, guiding Father, we thank you for those who have been guided and called to serve in this church. We especially thank you for Greg Lohman and Steve Silva as we celebrate their deacon consecration today. Continue to guide and support those called to serve and who share your wonderful word. We also pray for those other deacons here. Lord, in your mercy, sovereign God, you raise up governments to protect the widow and the orphan. Bless citizens with wisdom and discernment as they choose leaders. Inspire leaders to always seek the common good. Be also with our first responders as they work to protect us all. We pray for our military, our police, our firefighters, and first responders. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, you desire health and wholeness. Reconcile the conflicts and disputes among us. Teach us to heal the trauma of racism and poverty. Break our hearts open to all those who suffer and mourn. We pray for Peter, James, Jeff, Laura and Clara, Larry and Clara, Jason, Mark, Ty, Jane, Rich, Ebby, Isaiah, Dora, the West family, Cecilia, Shirley, Melanie, Kimberly, Tammy, the homeless and unemployed. Be also with those living in care facilities or who are homebound or cannot join us today. May they feel your loving presence around them. We pray for Keith, Anne, Leon, Wayne, Ivy and Brian, Kevin, Dante, Mary, Beverly, and Genevieve. Lord, in your mercy. Welcoming God, you place children among us. Teach us to honor the children in our midst and to pay attention to what they can teach us about who you are. Be also with Charlotte and her family as they prepare for her baptism into this Christian family. Lord, in your mercy. You surround us with a cloud of witnesses who announce the good news of abundant life to a sad and needy world. Make us a pilgrimage people, always telling the story of your loving kindness. Be with those mourning the loss of loved ones who joined your heavenly kingdom. May they feel your comforting embrace. We pray especially for Greg Lohman and the family on the death of his sister, Debbie. Lord, in your mercy. Listening, God, hear the prayers and concerns within our hearts that we share with you now in silence. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Into your hands, most gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you. Let us share a sign of God's peace.